Amen to that. Well, good morning. Happy Easter. He is risen. That is what we say. If you didn't say that, you need to leave now. Okay. Jairus and worship team, thank you guys so much. Can we just give them a round of applause? Wasn't that awesome this morning? You guys did such a great job. My heart is so full already. Kids, we have a special Easter version of Grace Kids. So all kids through sixth grade, if you'd like to follow the rest of the kids back, you will have a wonderful time this morning during our Grace Kids service. So we're excited for them. We're glad to have you here. The whole he is risen indeed is something that followers of Jesus have said for centuries. It was just their thing, you know. They said that because it just, they knew how one another were believers through that expression. And so we're so excited that Jesus Christ is certainly alive. He is alive and well today. He's with us this morning. He is present this morning. I was thinking about this morning. I've been praying a lot about it. A lot of us have been praying about it. A lot of preparation has gone into this morning. Not that we don't every week, but you know, it's Easter, so we just want to make sure that we emphasize Jesus, the living Savior, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I was just thinking, you know, I've got proof that Jesus is alive today. And so here it is. You ready for it? Ta-da! Me. I am here today because Jesus is alive. I am preaching on Easter Sunday to a group of people about Jesus and his resurrection because the living Jesus changed my life, transformed me. You should have known my wife and I back in the day, okay? I know we look so pristine and holy now, but, well, Shayla does. But, guys, we were a mess. I mean, really, a couple radicals, a couple rebels, Shayla maybe more than me, but hey, no, I'm telling you guys, I mean, back in the day, it was not good. I mean, our lives were characterized just by sin and you know, and just living life for ourselves, and I posted this morning about Easter and just thankful for the living Savior because he's transformed my heart and my life, and he continues to transform me. If it were not for Jesus, I promise you, I would be still today strung out, drugs, alcohol, chasing whatever else the world has to offer. You know, I think of that old hymn. I'm going to quote another old hymn today, but years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. And so we're here today because Jesus, the living Savior, spoke to my heart. He showed me the truth about himself, and I believed, and I responded to his grace and his mercy, and he cleansed me of my sin, and he's transformed my life, and he continues to transform my life over the years. That's the only reason that we're here today, my wife and I. And I imagine that's similar for you. You're here today because Jesus has transformed you, and he's continuing to work in your life. And that's why we're here today, to celebrate the resurrected living Savior, Jesus Christ. He's still at work, and we're grateful for that. Well, I want to share just a few points this morning about why Jesus lives. Because he lives, what does that mean? So what that Jesus is alive? How do we know? What's the implication of Jesus being alive today? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. I just want to pray one more time before we dive into this morning. Father, thank you for this beautiful morning, this great Easter morning. This one time of year that especially we stop and we pause and we reflect and we remember and we rejoice that you raised Jesus from the dead. Help us to let that settle in for a moment. You raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he ascended and he's alive today. And he continually is working today still yet. Transforming hearts, transforming lives, bringing other people into his family, securing their eternal salvation through faith in Jesus. Lord, we just need your help today. For everyone that's here, we just pray that hearts would be open to this message. Ears would be attentive. As if we're the only one here today, God, you have a message for us. You have something you want to share with us because you're still interested in us and want to transform us. And so we ask you for that help today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few points this morning about why Jesus is alive. Because he lives is the title. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is because he lives, Jesus is right. Because Jesus is alive, Jesus is right. You know, Jesus made a lot of astonishing claims when he walked this earth. He claimed he was the Son of God. He claimed to be the Savior of the world. He claimed to be able to forgive sins. The Jews really love that one. But he claimed to be able to forgive sins. They were appalled at that. And he claimed to grant everlasting life to anyone who would believe in him. You know, Jesus Nazareth wasn't the first person to ever claim that he was the Messiah. We know this. Josephus, a first century Roman Jewish historian and military leader, mentions a dozen or more Messiah figures in his writings. Even a thousand years later, there was a man named Savius started one of the most organized and momentous messianic movements in Jewish history. Thousands of Jews believed that he would lead them back to the promised land. Yet in 1666, of all years, Zevi was captured and imprisoned by the Sultan of modern-day Turkey. But while he was in prison, this Messiah switched sides and, believe it or not, became a Muslim. 300 years later, in our day, yet another long line of Messiahs captured the spotlight. There was an aged rabbi named Menachem Schneerson, and he was being hailed as the true Messiah. He lived in Brooklyn, so we know it can't be true. No, sorry if you're from New York. Although his followers built an identical house for him in Israel, they said of him, of this new Messiah, Moses was the first Redeemer, the rabbi is the last Redeemer. The Friends of Israel ministry estimated that before this rabbi died in 1994, that nearly 300,000 Jews believed this rabbi was the Messiah. And even as he was dying in a hospital in New York, paralyzed by a series of strokes, leaders within his movement were confident that he would recover, come to Israel, and rebuild the temple. All of these men were not the long-awaited Messiah. They either abandoned their mission or they failed to defeat the enemy of mankind that King David said the true Messiah would defeat. That is the enemy called death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is the defining statement of authenticity and authority. I mean, healings, if you think about it, healings could be staged. Signs and wonders can be counterfeited. Genealogies could be forged. But coming back from the dead, right? Coming back from the dead is proof that Jesus Christ was, in fact, God in the flesh. Because he lives, because Jesus is alive today, we know that he was right. He is right. He was right about everything that he said he was, everything that he claimed to be, everything that he said he was going to do, every claim that he made was absolutely 100% correct. Because when a man is brutally crucified on a cross, publicly, buried in a tomb for 3 days that was sealed, and then rose again, being witnessed by many people, many other witnesses, including over 500 witnesses at one time, you know, I think it's time to start believing in this Messiah. You know, we understand that faith is not an easy thing. Sometimes we think, oh, just have faith, you know, as if it's something that's easy. Faith is hard, actually. I mean, we're here today and we believe what this ancient book called the Bible tells us about this person, Jesus of Nazareth, right? But that certainly requires faith on our part, does it not? But our faith is inescapably tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We could spend the entire morning talking about all the evidences for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but I imagine that most of you here this morning are not here because you doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. I think we all believe in this central event in history, but I tend to think that what most of us as believers in Jesus struggle with is living out our faith in Jesus, who is alive today and still at work in our lives. Because Jesus didn't just speak of his death and resurrection, though he did that much, and he didn't just talk about securing our eternal salvation, getting us to heaven one day, though he did. He had a whole lot more to say about his plan for the world, his plan for the ages, his plan for mankind, and his plan, namely, to come back again, to return for us. You know, Paul said of Jesus in Romans 14, he says, "It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." I was talking to one of our brothers this morning. I said, you know, for an Easter sermon, we're going to talk a lot about death for a little while. It's going to be uplifting, really. Just hang on. Don't leave after the death part, you know. But you can't talk about resurrection from the dead without talking about death, right? So it's not a morbid thing. It's just a reality check for all of us. But because Jesus rose from the dead, I think what that means is he demands our attention. He demands our attention. He has authority. He's got authority over sin. He has authority over death, the grave. He has authority over life. He is the king. And so we have to take Jesus and what he said seriously. Because one day, everyone will bow before him and give an accounting of how seriously we took him and his word. That's what that is all about. Well, let's start with that claim that's mentioned here in Romans 14, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess or acknowledge God. Really, though? Every knee? Every tongue? Like all of humanity? When exactly is that going to happen? Because the way that I see it now, there's a whole lot of people that do not bow their knee to Jesus or even really acknowledge God as the one and only true God, right? You see that. Full of people that do not do this. Well, Jesus said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And Jesus is right about everything. And so the truth that every knee and every tongue needs to know is this: secondly, because he lives, all will rise. All of us will rise one day. Whether a person today believes in Jesus Christ as the only way, truth, and life, or whether they even acknowledge God as the one and only true God, does not negate the fact that everyone one day will rise again. Because one day, every person who has ever lived will be raised from the dead, both believers in Jesus and those who do not believe in the only Son of God. Believers, we're told from the Bible, will be raised again to eternal life. But unbelievers will be raised to eternal death. That's a sad truth, isn't it? Well, here's what Jesus says about the resurrection of every unbeliever. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus. This is from Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. John wrote this as God gave him a vision of the future. This is what's going to happen. "And then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. My wife and I were driving around out in the country. We like to ride around out in the country a little bit. Sometimes we get on the motorcycle and go out in the back roads. But we came across some of the most beautiful cemeteries that we've ever seen out here. Maybe you've seen them. Just beautiful, picturesque cemeteries nestled in these lovely, lush, beautiful trees. And I just got to thinking, wow, what a contrast, huh? This beautiful life springing out of this place of death. You know, we lived in St. Louis, Missouri, for about 9 years. And we live close to Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery, if you are familiar with this cemetery. And I've personally officiated several gravesite services there over the 9 years that we lived there and ministered there. But when you drive in or we drive by, wow, it's a little overwhelming. Tombstones as far as the eye can see. Isn't it overwhelming? You're like, wow, that's a lot. You know, according to statistics, there were 67.1 million deaths in the world in 2022. 67 million deaths last year. And also, on average, 332,648 people die every day in the world. And if you consider how many people have lived on Earth since the beginning of time, which is an estimation, obviously, that number of people who have ever lived is 117 billion people. So I was doing a little math, trying to do math, not my best subject, but I got my calculator out on the computer. But if you consider how many of our Earth's population over time have believed in Jesus, again, it's an estimation, how many people have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior, right? Believed in Jesus. Well, statistics tell us that around 31% of the population claim to be Christian. And so if you just do some math, that's a little high in my opinion, but if we take that percentage of all those that have passed away to date, that means if Jesus returned right now, all those who failed to believe in Jesus for eternal life, where they're standing before God to give an account of their life, do you know how many people would be standing at this judgment? 80,613,000,000 people standing before the creator of their soul to give an account. That's a lot of souls. The world population today is only about 8 billion, but 80,613,000,000 people one day standing before God to be judged according to what they did that is recorded in the books. And he says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. We don't hear about that much anymore, right? It's not really popular to preach about hell, you know. Just stick to the good stuff, you know. But that's what Jesus said. Every one of those 80,613,000,000 are today condemned to eternal death in a lake of fire. From the greatest to the least, Revelation tells us this. I mean, you think about it. Kings, world rulers, CEOs, people who had power and influence and were the cat's meow of the world. Every one of them, to the least, to the destitute, to the average people like you and me, just get up and go to work every day and make a living and we live and we die, and to the least, whose names no one will ever remember. All of them standing here, 80 billion plus if it happened today. You think, wow, that's a lot of people being condemned. What do they do? Man, they must have been the worst of the worst, right? What do these folks do to deserve that? Well, Jesus tells us exactly how they end up there in John chapter 3. 17 and 18, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That wasn't his purpose, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why? Because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's how. That's the only reason. Sometimes we ask, what sin would take someone to hell, or sins, you know, it's got to be this or that. There's only one thing that keeps someone from entering into heaven and having eternal life and rescuing them from eternal death, and that is faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's belief, believing in Jesus. Because Jesus says, whoever does not believe is condemned. Their names are not written in the book of life. And guess what? Jesus is right. Everything that he said, you can believe. He rose from the dead. He's proven his authority. That day will come as surely as Jesus lives. That's what he said. As surely as I live, this day will come. Now, of those 80,613,000,000 people, how many do you know personally? How many of them would be your family members or those friends, people you worked with, maybe your boss? You know, death is not the end for anyone. All will rise. All will give an account of their life. They will be judged for everything they ever did while they were on this earth. And the record doesn't lie, because it's God's record. So you know it's accurate. You know, the books will be open. Here you go, right? At that point, there's no arguing, there's no debating, there's no, you know, opportunity to, you know, bargain, no more opportunity to change your mind at that point and believe. They either trusted in Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and the only way to the Father, or they chose instead to trust in themselves. You know, I'm not all that bad. You know, at least I'm better than most, I think, is what a lot of people believe. And so they're trusting in their own goodness, their own good works, or their own not-so-bad works, or whatever, right? They said, no, Jesus, I'm good. I got this, essentially. Because we all think we're pretty good, right? I mean, at least we're better than most. Maybe we feel that way. Until the books are opened, until the account is there, and every sin that's ever committed throughout our life is recorded, and the books don't lie. I'm trying to drop a little weight. We got a little trip coming up in Florida, you know, and I gotta look good in a Speedo. No, I'm kidding. But never wear a Speedo. But you know, I try to lose weight, and so I've been trying to watch what I eat and eat right, you know, and so you think you're doing pretty good through the week, you know. And then you step on the scale at the end of the week, and you're like, what? You know, that can't be right, you know, shaking the scale. Maybe the batteries are low. No, the scale doesn't lie, you know. And then you start thinking, yeah, there was that fast food trip. There was that DoorDash. There was that, you know, and you're like, oh, man, I wasn't as good at being disciplined as I thought. The scale doesn't lie. The books will not lie. They are accurate. It'll be a sobering time for everyone who has rejected Jesus and his offer, his wonderfully gracious, merciful offer of forgiveness of all of one's sins. And the gift, the free gift, it's free, of everlasting life. It's going to be a sobering time when they're sentenced to eternal death in a lake of fire, which the Bible tells us was reserved for the devil and his angels. Yet that's where they will end up. All right, so that's the negative side. But you know what? Believers, for all those that have believed in Jesus for eternal life, the Bible tells us we too will rise one day, but when we rise, we will rise to eternal life. Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? You notice that all unbelievers that are raised to face eternal death is called the second death. Did you notice that in Revelation? That's because all of us as human beings face the first death. That's physical death, right? And physical death is the separation of our soul from our body. But not all mankind will face the second death, which is spiritual death. That is the separation of our soul from the presence of God. It's a basic spiritual truth, really, that maybe you've heard it this way. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you only die once. Do you understand that? When a person believes in Jesus for eternal life, they are said to be born again. A spiritual birth takes place. And that birth, birthed by the Holy Spirit, you're placed into the family of God forever. And you will never again face spiritual death, the second death. And that's why Jesus said, the one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. How does a person never die? What is he talking about? He's talking about the salvation of our soul. As George MacDonald observed, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. These fleshly bodies are temporary. This isn't our permanent body. They expire. But the soul, who you are, will continue on for eternity. That's because God placed a living soul into every human being. Jesus' resurrection is the pattern for everyone who places their faith in Him. His body and soul were raised to life on that Sunday following His crucifixion. One of the greatest chapters on the resurrection of Jesus is found in 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and he says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. But he said, he's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Another way of saying passed away. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. You see, sin and the consequences of sin came through one man, Adam, the first man. But eternal life came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. And so if we believe in Jesus, that He rose from the dead and lives eternally, and if Jesus promised to give eternal life to all who believe in Him, then we too will rise one day to forever be with the Lord. That's what the Scriptures tell us. 1 Thessalonians tells us, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and because we believe that, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. And then Hebrews 9 tells us, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and He will appear a second time. Catch this, not to bear sin, He's already done that, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. As believers in Jesus Christ this morning, our sin's penalty has been paid in full. Amen? Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished. Our sin was paid for, paid in full. That's what they used to stamp on invoices when they were paid, tetelestai, paid in full. And Jesus said that, three words, one word in Greek, it is finished, tetelestai. Our sins were bore on the cross by Jesus, and He took it away forever. But when He returns for us, the second time we're told, which we believe is the rapture of the church, He is coming to make good on His promise to save us forever. And many believers are still waiting for that day. We're waiting on Jesus for His return, both the living and the dead. All those believers that have passed away to date until now, they're still waiting on Jesus to turn to them and say, okay, everyone, it's time to go. And he's going to turn to them and say, let's go get the rest of the family. And he's going to descend. Jairus, when you blew that trumpet this morning, I couldn't help but think, we're going to hear that trumpet again. The horn's going to be blasting. And he's going to come back. And we're told that he's going to have all of the redeemed with him that have gone on before us. And then the dead in Christ will rise. All those that remain, we're all going to meet Jesus along with all the other saints in the sky to forever be with the Lord. Amen? Talk about a family reunion, right? Could you just imagine being instantly translated into the sky to meet Jesus and all those that have believed in him before? I want to see them. I can't wait for that. That's our hope. That's why we keep on keeping on. That's why we put up with so much. That's why we groan. That's why we just are praying and waiting and just looking for the return of the Lord. Because it's going to be a fabulous day. Heaven's Uber. Maybe not that. I grew up on the hymns, as I mentioned, so I always have hymns running through my mind. But when I think about that, I just remember that song we used to sing. I used to sing it loud as a kid. When we all get to heaven, right? Remember that song? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, the final victory, which is death. Rejoicing is going to take place because we will all finally experience victory over death once and for all. 1 Corinthians, Paul continues on. He says, listen, let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. That's what's going to happen. And then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? There will not be any more sting for those that have put their faith in Jesus, because death doesn't have the final say. Jesus is right, folks. Every person will be raised, whether they believe in Jesus or not. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. And so that's the final point this morning. Because he lives, rescue is available. Salvation is available today, right now. Why has Jesus not come back yet? You know, we've been reading about it. You know, the early believers were anticipating the return of Jesus. They were mocked by people that didn't understand. They said, oh, you keep talking about Jesus coming back. Well, where is he? You know, well, it's been a couple thousand years now. We're still talking about the imminent return of Jesus Christ not happened yet. Why is that? You know why? Because God is an immensely patient and loving God. That's why. And he's still waiting. Still waiting for people to believe in his Son for eternal life. That's why. And we should be grateful for that. He's still rescuing people from the wages of sin, the penalty of sins, right? He's still showing the world his unconditional love, his immense mercy, his unrelenting grace to all who will believe in him. John 3:16 is just as true today as it was when Jesus spoke it. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message on this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is who he said he was. He will do everything that he said he would do. Will you believe in him this morning for eternal life? That's the question. But the other message is that Jesus is still rescuing believers today. This is one that we tend to forget. He didn't come to earth only to offer forgiveness of sins and salvation from eternal death, though that is true. That is the gospel. That is what he came to bring. But he also came to rescue us from becoming a casualty of the sin that so easily entangles us every single day, even as believers. He's still rescuing the saved from themselves. The consequences of our sin, the penalty of our sin, was paid for by Jesus. Eternity is ours because of what he's done. But we know all too well that we still struggle with sin every day, do we not? We still feel the effects of living in a sin-filled world. We all still have a sin nature. We still feel the pull of the sin nature, right? And so there's still that struggle. We still feel the effects of our own sin. It still resides in us. There's still a lot of saving that God's doing today. He's still saving the lost from eternal death, and he's still saving the saved from a life of sinful misery and defeat. And I am grateful for that this morning. But it's through his resurrection. Paul said in Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. Where is he? He's at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus' work today is intercessory work. His work is not over. He's alive and well and interceding for us. Hebrews 4 tells us, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven, that's what Jesus did after he rose, he ascended at the right hand of God. He's entered into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold him firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Aren't you grateful for that? He gets it. For he faced all the same testings as we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. I love that passage. I think it's my life verse. It is just now. I just made it my life verse. This phase of life. Because there is still unlimited grace and mercy available to those of us that have believed in Jesus. As we live life on earth, you get it. We know it's hard. It is not an easy life living for Jesus. If you think the Christian life is easy, well, you're missing something then. I read of this man who was driving to work one morning, and he noticed behind him was this woman tailgating him rather closely. Seemed to be rather in a hurry, very impatient. Well, as he's driving, he sees the light turn yellow, and like good Christians, slows down. Sorry, I usually, that means go faster, I think. But he saw the light turn yellow, and so he went ahead and stopped, and the woman behind him just came unglued. She was irate. She's like screaming. He's looking in the rearview mirror, can see her screaming and raising her fist and yelling and cussing and honking. And then just about a minute later, she hears a tap on her window. It was the police officer who was behind her in traffic. He arrests her, takes her to jail, books her, and then not too much longer, releases her out, gives her all her possessions back, and is very apologetic. He says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry." He said, "When I saw the pro-life sticker on the back of that car and the Jesus fish symbol and the Jesus is my Lord bumper sticker, and then I saw all the yelling and the honking and the cursing, I thought, surely this car has been stolen. That's me. I'm that guy. I apologize if I'm honking at you. No, I don't honk usually. Well, anyway. Honk if you love Jesus. Hey, let's just be honest. Christians, we still need a whole lot of grace today, do we not? We are not there. We have not arrived. There's a whole lot of work that God's still doing in our lives. And it's the risen Jesus Christ who intercedes for us to give us help in our time of need. And we need him every single day. We need him. We need his grace to forgive us for these times, which you, maybe you can relate to this. Maybe in that maybe you're not that kind of driver. Sorry, I am. But maybe there's something else that you struggle with. Jesus rose to bring us life. And Romans tells us that we are risen to walk in newness of life. Going to heaven isn't the end. There's life to be lived. There's the abundant life. There's the resurrection life that Jesus is alive and interceding for us to provide for us. How are we doing with the resurrection life? I'm going to end with A.W. Tozer and a quote that I read from him this week. He says this, and you can just listen to this. Do we really believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something more than making us the happiest fellows in the Easter parade? Are we just to listen to the bright cantata and join in singing, "Up from the grave he arose," smell the flowers and go home and forget it? No, certainly not. It is truth and a promise with a specific moral application. The resurrection certainly commands us with all the authority of sovereign obligation, the missionary obligation. I cannot give in to the devil's principle, deceitful tactic, which makes so many Christians satisfied with an Easter celebration instead of experiencing the power of Christ's resurrection. It is the devil's business to keep Christians mourning and weeping with pity beside the cross instead of demonstrating that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And then he said this, when will the Christian church rise up, depend on his promise and power, and get on the offensive for the risen and ascended Savior? Amen? Tozer, I wholeheartedly agree. When will we start living on the offensive? We have the power of the resurrected Christ available to us. Christ lives in us. There is no sin we cannot overcome. There's no victory we cannot have. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, there is nothing impossible with him. Amen? That's what Easter is about. Christians, we have got to get out here and live the resurrected life that Jesus rose to give us. May we walk by faith and trusting in him this Easter. Father, thank you for this morning. My prayer in this moment right now is for any that may have come here today and maybe they were uncertain of what it means to have everlasting life. Surely in a group this size, there are some that say, you know, I've never really understood how a person is forgiven and is given everlasting life. But I understand today. I understand that Jesus came to pay the penalty for my sin. I understand that he rose to prove that he has authority over the grave and that everything he said was true. And I understand that Jesus said, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. If that is you this morning, would you just, in your own heart, just acknowledge that to God this morning? God, I understand the message. And today, I believe in Jesus. Thank you for saving me from the consequences of my sin. For the rest of us here on this Easter Sunday, God, please don't let this be the end of our worship. 80,613,000,000 people without hope, lost, dead in their trespasses and sins, and facing the eternal consequences. God, that should, we should weep over that. We should have sleepless nights realizing that so many people don't know Jesus. They have not trusted in Him. God, You saved us to tell others. I am here this morning as an incredibly sinful man that You redeemed. You've transformed my life. You continue to transform my life so that I will do exactly what I'm doing this morning, proclaiming the gospel message to anyone that will listen. God, that is everyone's commission this morning. That is the missionary duty that You've given every person that has been a recipient of Your amazing, marvelous grace. God, we need You for that. We struggle with sin. We struggle with our own agenda in life. We struggle with just being led away and living as if Your return will never happen. But You said it will. Even today, Lord, it could be. God, help us, we pray. Thank You so much for Your love. God, I personally thank You so much for Your tremendous patience with me. Man, I am such a work in progress. God, thank You for rescuing me and continuing to rescue me for myself day in and day out, keeping me because of Your faithfulness, not because of mine. Thank You, Lord, for this time that we've been able to talk about Your word, talk about the gospel. I pray that any today that have received Jesus today would have assurance of their eternal security. I pray for all of us as believers that we would be motivated by Your Spirit to not let Easter and the resurrection of Jesus be confined to a Sunday morning worship service. May we go out and share this beautiful message with all who will listen. We're asking for help and mercy in our time of need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.